Many cultures worldwide lay claim to different tales that vary in their existence, from those based on real factors to those of fairy tale nature, with some slipping neatly into the middle as folklore. Many of those tales may seem strange to those on the outside looking in, without the context of their environment. After all, there are things that are considered completely normal to some cultures and extremely strange to others. Cuisine de grenouille is a traditional French dish that, to the English, is famously strange as they struggle to comprehend the consumption of frog's legs. To many cultures, this is a strange delicacy. Yet this food is also eaten in China, Indonesia, Italy, Slovenia, and much more. Scotland has haggis, a savoury pudding made of sheep's innards and more. England has black pudding, which is pork or beef blood merged with oats and fat. Many wince at the idea of eating a spider on a stick, but this is a lovely snack in some places around the world. We all have things in our culture that may be considered strange from the outside. Things that may even seem somewhat silly at first glance. But it is when we look into them with the context of that culture that things begin to make sense. My name is Luke Mordew, and this modern myth is Kushtika. The Tlingit people are a tribe indigenous to the Pacific Northwest coast of North America, where they still reside in Alaska and parts of Canada, and have been there for at least 10,000 years. In their Tlingit language, their name means people of the tides, and it is estimated that only 200 to 400 people in the United States and 100 in Canada are native speakers. They live by a matrilineal kinship system, with children commonly considered to be born into the mother's clan, whilst property and hereditary roles pass through the mother's lineage. The culture developed in the temperate rainforest of the southeast Alaskan coast and the Alexander Archipelago. From here, they continued their hunter-gathering culture based on semi-sedentary fisheries management. It is a fact that a vast amount of otter-filled waters were so close to this fascinating indigenous culture that helps us understand the urban legends that existed amongst them. Otters, like those surrounding the Tlingit people, have become very popular animals in several cultures thanks to their cute faces, sweet little squeaks, and tiny, baby-like fingers. It's unlikely you've missed the images of otters floating on the water whilst they sleep, holding the hand of another otter to ensure they don't float away. And it's even more unlikely that you didn't find that image adorable. Sea otters are known to have the thickest fur of any animal in the world. So thick that otter pups are too dense to swim underwater, meaning their mothers have to leave them floating on the surface as they dive for food. They can hold their breath for 5 minutes, whilst river otters can do so for 8. Otters do, in fact, like to stick together, ensuring that they remain huddled without drifting apart when they sleep, which is why a group of otters is called a raft. They are fascinating and wonderful little creatures, although they are known to pack a nasty bite for anyone they may be threatened by. Otters and the Tlingit people have shared the coast of Alaska since far before the days of the USA's existence, with 90% of sea otters, the largest of the 13 species, being found on Alaska's coast. And whilst we, in many places around the world, coo over the cuteness of an otter, many of the Tlingit people watch them with an air of caution. I hope you're enjoying this chapter so far, and we will return to it. But first, I wanted to steal you away for a moment. I love what I do, and delving into the history of urban legends and folklore is as fascinating as it is rewarding. I feel fortunate to have thousands of people listening to my research each week. The kind messages I receive are both heartwarming and reassuring. However, it takes a very long time to create each chapter. And no matter how much I enjoy it, doing this for free is not always a possibility, leading to significant gaps between seasons, gaps that I hope to shorten in the future. And this is where your support is needed. Through Patreon, you can subscribe for as little as £3 a month, less than a latte at your local barista. By doing so, you will receive all episodes without any advertisements or breaks. You will also be able to listen to each chapter the Friday before the general public. On top of this, you'll receive a weekly newsletter and discounts on merchandise. We're not just building a community there, but forging a fellowship of folklore enthusiasts. Join our private group chats, where you can share your stories, theories, and discoveries with like-minded individuals captivated by modern myths. Let's discover what you've heard, what you may want to hear, or what you think of any specific legend. Your support on Patreon isn't just a subscription. It's an investment in preserving our urban legend show. Please help us continue our journey and in return, become part of our team. Not only that, but if you join us today, you'll be entered into a prize draw where I'll be choosing 8 patron names at random before the next season begins. Once contacted, if permission is granted, you will be written into one of our new stories, putting you within the legends we tell. Visit our Patreon page by following the link in our show notes, clicking subscribe, and paying whatever you can afford to give. I look forward to your support as we continue to unravel folklore together. And now, back to the legend. Throughout history, the Tlingit people believed that some of these otters that they would see so often throughout their lives were, in reality, not otters at all. Instead, they understood them to be what they would call Kushtika, which translates as land otter man, as they were believed to be otter man-like shapeshifters. Some say that Kushtika can transform themselves into men. Some say they can transform into otters. Some say both, and some say neither. Some will tell you they are helpful, calm creatures. Others will tell you that they are menacing, devilish creatures with nothing but ill intent. Some within the Tlingit culture are warned that when they are out in the woods or fishing by the sea, they could be approached by a group of men, but although these men may seem like your peers, they will be the Kushtika in their human form. Others would warn that the Kushtika will appear when you are in a vulnerable position, either lost or injured. They will claim to be there to help you. However, their true intent will be to lure you deeper into the wilderness, where they would tear you apart, or even turn you into a Kushtika yourself, thus preventing your soul from ever being reincarnated, leaving you as one of them forever. Knowing if they are close by means listening out for their calls as they emit a high-pitched three-part whistle in the pattern of low, high, low. Although many are also warned to be cautious when hearing the screams of a distressed woman from afar, as this could very easily be the Kushtika attempting to lure you into a trap. If a woman were to hear the cries of a child and follow it to help, there was a chance she would find herself walking straight into the path of a Kushtika that was emitting the sound to trick her. And it would be here that it would decide to either turn her or rip her to shreds. It was inevitable that the urban legend of Kushtika would eventually be found in comparisons to other mysterious creatures around the lands of North America. The Kushtika have been known to hold connections to the Yeti, whilst also being found to be comparable to skinwalkers. And although the Kushtika may not be anywhere near as famous as their comparative cryptids, this only adds to their mystery. What is important to understand about the belief in Kushtika is that these were at no point considered mysterious beings that existed in folklore, but were consistently understood to be legitimate threats waiting for members of the Tlingit tribe to slip up. Even the origin of these strange beings is hard to pinpoint, with no facts that will ever be confidently known, with their existence being so ingrained within word of mouth for so long. There has never been any set day on when they first appeared. Many Tlingit people and others around them have picked up on the legend, simply stating that it comes from the old times, which tells us very little. There are stories that have been told of times when the Kushtika have played evil tricks on fishermen and sailors, causing their deaths. In contrast, there are stories of the Kushtika saving people from the icy waters and helping those requiring it the most. With hundreds of stories involving both scenarios, it seems that even the Tlingit people cannot unanimously decide on the intentions of the Kushtika, emphasizing their mysterious presence even further. Perhaps some were good and others bad. Perhaps it simply depended on what mood they were in. Or perhaps we didn't matter to them at all, as we're mere humans. It's not as if it's unheard of for us to love and look after a pet whilst eating a ham sandwich, which I imagine would also be very confusing for any animal if it developed conscious thought. What the Tlingit people do agree on, though, is that to keep the Kushtika away, it is best to have a dog nearby, as they are terrified of canines. If there is no dog around, or if you want to take extra precautions, you could also use fire. However, if you were looking for something less destructive, you could always use urine or copper to keep them at bay. The story of the Kushtika has become a favorite amongst mothers to share with children, becoming their boogeyman that may be lurking outside. Their stories are told, and their confusing intent is emphasized to ensure the children remain fearful and alert. There may have been a time when many within the Tlingit tribe would avoid taking their children by the coastlines to ensure their safety. And although many don't believe in the Kushtika in this day and age, they remain a cautionary tale. Make sure you don't run off out of your mother's sight. As if you do, the Kushtika may very well be waiting.
Urban Legends is researched, written, and produced by Luke Mordew. Original score by Billy Jupp, with additional sounds from storyblocks.com. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, click subscribe on your chosen podcast provider and delve into the mysteries of our previous and future chapters. To find more, including merchandise, video content, images, and more, visit urbanlegendsfolklore.com. If you have more information or a correction on something mentioned in this chapter, please get in touch through our website. We aim to ensure that all information provided is accurate and up to date, and this remains a top priority. If you want to support the show, receive early access, and have more of a say in what we do, then become a patron by clicking the link in our show notes. For these chapters in video format, simply search Urban Legends Folklore on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads, and join our Facebook group by searching Urban Legends Folklore.